Hi, this is Bruce Buffer, your voice of the Octagon, and you're listening to MMA Mental.
Welcome to this week's MMA Mental podcast. We have three guests lined up for this week, but as always, before we start, I just want to do a few shout-outs. First, I want to shout out our sponsors. Big thank you to them, UK Fightwear. And then we've got some friends in the MMA podcasting world. I always like to shout them out. We've got Jake and Chris, who host the MMAPodcast.com. We've also got The Word on the Street, which is hosted by Ramses. We do a roundtable show every week. Me and Patrick team up with a few of the MMA fans from the MMA Playground, but also included on that panel are Jake and Chris from the MMA Podcast and Ramses from Word on the Street. So check that out. That's every Thursday. And also want to shout out to Jim Graham from Beyond the Cage. Right, let's get on to this week's guests. I've got three interviews that I've done this week. We open up with an absolute legend of combat sport. We open up with a K-1 legend who is currently the president of World Series of Fighting, which is Ray Sefo, an absolute gentleman. And he gives us his insights into a little bit into his K-1 career. And then we talk about World Series of Fighting and the direction he sees it going in, so it's a great interview. And then we talk to two fighters who will be fighting on the XF23 main card. We've got Zach Underwood and Angelica Chavez. So again, two more great interviews, so hopefully you enjoy them. Okay, we are now joined by the K1 legend and World Series of Fighting president, Ray Sefo. Thank you for joining me today, Ray.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So obviously we're going to talk about you've got a big event coming up this week, so we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I just wanted to talk a little bit about your background. So obviously you've had a decorated career yourself in combat sport before running the promotion. Of course, you're still active as a fighter. So let's talk a little bit about your K1 career. What made you want to get into K1?
I was a typical young kid that grew up loving martial arts, and one of my first martial arts movies was Jackie Chan's movie, Kung Fu movies, and Bruce Lee, and that got me really interested in it and just fell in love with martial arts, and went on from there, and went from Kung Fu for 6 years, which was Wing Chun, and then went from there to Thai boxing, and did Muay Thai ever since, and started competing and winning titles, national titles, and then went into the world championship and won 6 world titles. And the next big goal was at that point was to get a contract with K1, because I would watch these for 2-3 years. I would watch these great legends of the game compete in K1, and I was I was a young kid looking at it going, wow, I would love to be there one day. And so that's how that came about, and from there, when I got the call to go, it was surreal at that point, because, and then sitting actually in one of the arenas and watching these great warriors compete against each other was surreal. So I just fell in love with it.
It's funny you should talk about watching these legends. Obviously, it's fair to say you've become a legend yourself. But who were these people that you watched that made you want to go into K1? You talk about the legends. Who were these legends in your eyes?
Oh, it was Peter Ertz, Ernesto Hoosh, Jerome LeBanner, Andy Hoog, Mike Bernardo, Francisco Fino, Sam Greco. The list went on. And, they were just amazing. And what they did, I was like, wow, this is truly amazing. So, and just the fact, just the thought of actually being there and not only just watching the event, but knowing that the reason why I was there was because I was going to be facing one of these guys. And it was just, and the ceremony that they had, and the way K1 does production is, is the best. And so sitting at the venue and watching Andy Hogan and all these guys, you know, go at it. It was probably the at that point in time, it was the biggest part of my career. It was the biggest height of my career at that point. And so knowing that I was going to be one of these guys, like within a few months, it was a dream come true for sure.
And you say about it being a dream come true. So that was going to be my next question. What was it like facing these guys? What was it like facing these people who you had put in such an iconic figure in your eyes? What was it like facing them in the ring?
It was surreal. I mean, not only that I was a fan of these guys, but now I'm not only facing these guys, but also considered as one of them. It was the whole thing was surreal for me at the time, and it took a little while to get used to it. I got into martial arts because I fell in love with the art, and then to even be considered, and then winning titles after titles, and then to be considered as one of the best in the world is, you know, it's still surreal to me today. I don't really think about it like that too much, and it's only every now and then that, you know, for example, I would have some family members come around to my house, and they say, "Wow, you know, it's unbelievable that you've been inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame and the USA Hall of Fame and this and that." And then it hits me, you know, like, I'm a huge fan of the sport. I'm a huge fan of boxing, kickboxing, and mixed martial arts. I think I'm more of a fan than anything else. That I don't know how to put it in words. Like, for example, a reporter would ask, you know, what does it feel like to be, you know, a world champion and being a Hall of Famer? And for me, it's like I don't know. And, you know, I look at it and I'm so proud and happy to be have achieved that. But that being said, competition is my job. You know, I wake up every day and I go to the gym. That's my job. You know, it's no different to the guy that wakes up in the morning and goes to the warehouse or an attorney or whoever. It doesn't matter. I mean, we have so many different, everybody has so many different jobs, and which helps the world rotate. And the only difference between my job and the guy that delivers, you know, picks up the trash, is my job is in the public eye. It's on TV. But that being said, I try and whip just as hard as that guy there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, what you've done and what you've achieved is absolutely amazing, and are still doing so now. What are some of your own personal highs within your combat career?
I would have to say the highest for me, and the thing that's more memorable is, and that matters to me the most, is the fact that I can say that I've shared the ring with some of the best fighters in the world. Not many people can say that, and so I think that's, for me, is the biggest high, is to be able to compete with the best of the best, and to face every top-name fighter in the world of kickboxing.
Now, you fought in March last year against another legend of K-1 and, of course, of mixed martial arts, which was Mirko Filipovic, or Mirko Krokop as he's known. Do you plan to have any more fights?
Yes, I'm looking forward to, I want to have 7 more fights and then retire. I'm hoping to get one in this year, whether it be in my league or I've had a couple of offers from Russia, a couple of offers from Australia, from Japan. And it's just a matter of finding the time and finalizing a few things, and then hopefully I'll get to you know, mix it up sometime before the end of the year. Prokop is, you know, he's a great fighter, and, but I fought him with the thought of him retiring, that he was, that was his final fight. And then, I mean, no excuse. Listen, I didn't have a camp for that fight, and just because I was already, I had already had a full schedule. I was in Brazil for 2 weeks, came home for a week, and then I was in Chicago for a week, came home for a week and a half, and then we were in Sydney for a little over a week, came home for 12 hours, and jumped on the plane to fall, broke off 3 days later. So I didn't really have a camp. That being said, I would love the opportunity to fight him again. So hopefully, you know, that comes up at some point. But it is what it is. You know, I still enjoy competing, and I love competing, and I look for, you know, and hopefully I get to, I really want to get to get to 100, and then I definitely would hang the gloves up.
Now, we're going to move forward a little bit and talk about the World Series of Fighting, which, of course, is a promotion that you've set up quite recently. My first question was, what made you want to start an MMA promotion when most of your background is K-1?
What I had with, back in 2000 was the first time that I'd done, that I worked with Royce Gracie, who's a good friend of mine with Jiu-Jitsu. And then I ended up fighting my first MMA fight in Heroes as a K-1 show. And then I think it was back in 2006, I want to say. 2007, I met Randy Couture and became part of his camp and gym, and just fell in love with the sport. And started wrestling and started doing jiu-jitsu and started really enjoying the groundwork. And I think the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu side of things rejuvenated my mind as a fighter. It made me more hungry and made me more wanting to be active. And so the opportunity, you know, this opportunity presented itself from an interview that I did one night. And I was thinking something through that interview, something clicked in my head, and then I thought of calling a good friend of mine who's one of our silent partners, and talk to him about it. And come to find out, well, this was a Friday night, and then Saturday morning, he calls me, and he says, "Hey, brother, what are you doing?" I says, "Well, I'm headed to strength and conditioning training." And he says, "Well, what are you doing after that?" I said, "Well, maybe, you know," I said, "I guess I'm having breakfast with you." And then I turn up, and that was, he's like, I says, "What's up?" And he's like, "Well, you know, I've been thinking about talking to you. I've been thinking for the last 3-4 weeks to talk to you about starting a fight league." I looked at him, and I went, "What?" And he says, "Well," and I says, "Well, that's the reason I was going to call you Monday, and that was the reason why I was going to call you, was to talk to you about that." And so everything up to this point has happened because it was meant to happen. You know what I mean? Like, some things in my life, I mean, a lot of things in my life, I just kind of go with the flow, and they just fall in place. And so that day was the birth of World Series of Fighting. 2 years later, we had our first show. So, and now we have a 3-year deal with NBC Sports Network with a minimum of 6 fights per year. And, you know, to have that kind of platform is second to none. I mean, our fighters and our guys have this huge stage to showcase their skills. And, you know, I got nothing but love and so much thanks to NBC Sports Network for believing in not only the product, but believing in my team and myself and the fighters that we have. And we have some of the best fighters in the world. And so, and that will continue to grow. Our roster will continue to grow. But, yeah, it all came about that one interview.
Yeah, I was going to actually talk, ask you about NBC Sports. I was going to do that a little bit later, but as you brought up, I'm going to do it now. So far, your events have been aired on NBC Sports Network, and also your prelims have been aired on SureDog.com. How big is it getting this kind of deal straight from the start?
Oh, it's, you know, for us, it's huge. You know, to actually have our first event on a primetime network, it's, you know, a huge deal for anybody. And then having to sign a 3-year deal with them, it's truly amazing. Myself and the team are very happy and very excited with the relationship with NBC Sports Network. They've been nothing but great. They're a fantastic group to work with. They're very accommodating and very helpful. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for all the love and support that they're showing us.
Now, for World Series of Fighting 1, it's fair to say, especially with this being your first event, the card was absolutely stacked from top to bottom. Now, as a fan watching the card, it was very exciting to watch. How pleased were you with how the event went?
I was very excited. When the host, you know, by the second or third fight, I turned around because I was sitting in cage side. I turned around and there was a butt and there was seats. And that, you know, that gave me, I was smiling on the inside. And, the show was all said and done, I was just, over the moon because not only, the production was great, all the fighters, came and did their thing and performed, they showcased the skills, the people that turned up, everybody, the media, everybody just said nothing but positive things about the whole show. And so, I was very thankful and very pleased. And we look to, you know, keep doing that. And like I've said many a times, our biggest challenge is ourselves and to make sure that we put on the show just as good or better each time we put on a show.
Well, I know on paper, this main event is a lot more intriguing, than the last main event. The last main event was a good main event, but I think Andrei Arlovsky and Anthony Johnson, a lot of people are really excited to see this fight. With regards to Anthony Johnson, obviously, we've seen him start from welterweight and now he's fighting a heavyweight. Do you think he's going to stay at heavyweight, or is he going to still be switching between weights, do you think?
I think it depends on how he feels on the night, and it depends on how the outcome of this fight is. A lot of people don't realize Anthony is getting older, not getting younger. And so the older, he's a big guy. As you're getting older, it's harder to lose weight. And he's always had some issues with his weight. So, and now he's training at, at the weight that he normally was, walks around at. And he'll keep, obviously he'll drop down to he'll probably get in the ring. In the case, probably between 220 and 230. So now he's coming into the cage without having to worry about having to cut weight, without worrying about having to stress. All he's focusing on is winning that fight. And so I have a feeling that if he comes out and puts on a good showing and a good job that night, there's a possibility that he may stay there. That being said, I talked to him and some of his team, and they say that they love him to 205 as well. So, I think at the end of the day, that's a decision that Anthony and his team will make. But either way, I don't mind seeing him either in the weight. I love seeing him fight at 205, but I would also like to see him at heavyweight if he's comfortable there.
Now, I mean, I mentioned about the fact that the World Series of Fighting 1 card was stacked, and it's fair to say, you know, if it was possible, you've probably done better with this card. This card is probably even more stacked than the first card. Apart from the main and the co-main, is there any particular fights or fighters that you're looking forward to seeing?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to the return of Paulo Filho. I think, you know, from what the reports I'm getting from Kevin, one of our staff members here, who's been going back and forth with Paulo's team and even himself, it sounds like he's good. It sounds like he's ready to go. He wants to come out and you know, prove the world that he's back and that this is where he belongs. So I'm really excited about that. That being said, he's got a huge opponent in the name of David Branch, who's also a great fighter. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to that fight as well. Of course, you know, Tyson Mann and Myron Moraes, I thought their last outings were amazing. And I'm picking that fight to be the fight of the night. So we'll see.
Now, also, it's fair to say, in especially when you compare North American MMA to Japanese MMA, there's a lot of emphasis put in champions and working towards title fights. What are your plans for this with regards to this for World Series of Fighting?
We definitely, you know, we definitely want a better couple of champions. But we also want to, that being said, we also want to do another few more events before we look at, you know, crowning somebody. And of course, keep adding to our roster. But yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, right now our focus is putting on exciting fights, fan favorite fights, fights that the fans want to see, fights that make sense. And also building our own young champions. But yeah, absolutely. Maybe the fourth event, third or fourth event we'll look at, you know, crowning somebody.
Now, talk about that four or five event. We'll look at crowning someone. Looking at the bigger picture now, looking forward, where do you see the World Series of Fighting, say, in 5 years' time?
Well, we'd like to be, you know, one of the best out there. We like to say that we have some of the best fighters in the world, and we like to come out and travel the world, actually. I mean, that, you know, that being said, there's already discussions of traveling all over, with Brazil, Egypt, Israel, Dubai, Australia, Japan, and New Zealand. So there's a lot of things in the works right now, and we definitely want to, 5 years from now, we want to be a force in the world of mixed martial arts.
Now, obviously, this is my final question. Obviously, I'm based in the UK, and MMA is booming at the moment in the UK. Do you have your eyes on any possible UK fighters that we might get to see on the World Series of Fighting in future?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You guys have UK have some of the best fighters in the world, and the likes of, you know, Dan Hardy and Bisping and those guys. Met both guys, and both wonderful guys. Matter of fact, Dan Hardy trains here in Las Vegas, and without a doubt, we definitely like to sign some of the UK fighters. I think the 4th of April, I'm actually flying out to the UK, meeting with some people there that's also looking to go into business and probably do a partnership and that kind of thing. So that's in the works as well right now.
Oh, that's very exciting. As a huge fan of MMA, whenever we get a promotion like yours and you're taking the UK into consideration, that's always fantastic in my eyes anyway. So thank you very much for your time today, Ray, and it's been an absolute honour to talk to you, and I just appreciate you giving me your time.
Thank you. I want to thank all the fans from the UK as well, and the fans all over the world, of course, here in the States, for all the love and support, not only for myself and for my team here at Wizards of Fighting. We've received nothing but love and support. So, and also to the media, you guys, nothing but respect for you guys. Thank you so much for all the love and support.
Okay, we're now joined by Zach Underwood. Zach will be fighting at XFC 23 coming up in a couple of weeks, and he'll be facing Division Ribeiro on the main card, which is obviously it's a huge fight. How are you feeling, Zach?
I'm feeling great right now, man. I'm just ready for the fight to get here.
Now, you mentioned briefly about your training camp. How's your training camp gone?
Oh, it's been going great so far. Since I got the call to the fight, I was already in the gym. I was already in shape, so I just started picking up the pace a little bit. I'm training with good guys, my brother Jake Underwood, Andy Urich, and a lot of my good teammates I have at Pitcher Athletics, and I've been working a lot also with my new jiu-jitsu coach, Jason Turner. She's helped me out a lot, too, so I'm just having fun, enjoying camp, you know. I wouldn't call it fun. I'm getting my ass beat a little bit, but other than that, I'm feeling great right now.
Now, it's quite you're quite experienced yourself. You've got 14 pro fights, and obviously Division's got a lot of experience as well. So how do you feel about your opponent? Because I think it's fair to say this is a big matchup.
Oh, yeah. I respect any opponent I fight. He's had a lot of fights, and he's really experienced. He's had a lot of fights for the distance. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's a grinder just like me. And, I'm just it's a new challenge for me, and I'm just looking forward to getting the fight here and just testing myself against Division.
Before we talk a little bit about your fight and XFC about the event coming up, I wanted to get a little bit on your background. I mean, you've been fighting for a few years, and when you look at the amount of fights you've had, it's surprising that you only started fighting professionally in 2009. So you've been a very active fighter. What got you into mixed martial arts?
My brother was doing it before I was, and I wasn't really into it, but then, I just started doing it, and it was an accident, kind of. I just went to a gym, I'm a competitive guy, and I saw, well, you can actually compete doing this, fighting, and to me it was like the most ultimate thing to do, so, yeah, I just walked to the gym one day, and started training in my backyard with my brother a little bit, and then we just kept working our way up. Now we got our own gym, and we grew up fighters, it's just an accident. I really have no background in anything. I didn't do any martial arts growing up, no wrestling, no nothing. I just started fighting pretty much. I guess it's for being from Union City, Tennessee, so help me out. It's a tough town.
That was going to be my next question, actually, because a lot of the time you find that there is obviously a background somewhere, but from what you were saying, you say you've got no background at all, not even in, because obviously wrestling's quite common in the U.S., so not even in wrestling you've got no background at all.
No, I'm just picking everything up as I go. I still consider myself a beginner because I have no martial arts background, and the most important thing I'm trying to pick up is wrestling because it wins fights, and my striking, my jiu-jitsu. I still look at myself as a white belt and everything because I've only been doing this for almost 6 years. I've been doing this.
Now you've had a lot of fights, you've had a lot of wins, and you've fought in a lot of different promotions, some of the biggest promotions in the world. Have you got any of your, what are your own personal highlights so far in your career?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
That's okay. You've had a lot of fights, you've won a lot of fights, and you've fought in a lot of promotions, some of the biggest promotions in the world. What have been your own personal highlights so far?
My last fight was my highlight. That's usually every fight. I go by how my last fight went because my last fight was probably the highlight because I fought a guy that beat me years before that, and then I fought him again, had a good camp, and I went out and got the W. So that was probably my biggest fight, I go fight to fight. Now this fight's the biggest fight of my career, so that's how I look at it. So I'm just enjoying it. I'm just doing the ride.
It's fair to say as well at the moment, XFC are doing big things. They're putting a lot of emphasis in bringing in top new talent, and obviously they're on national television. How big is it for you to be fighting on the main card of XFC, knowing it's going to be on national television? How big is that for you?
Oh, it's really big to me. I mean, all my friends that never got to see me fight will now get to see me fight on TV, and not only them, people who never heard of me, will get to see me fight, And it's pretty big to me because I tend to do better whenever I'm on a bigger stage, you know. I know more eyes are on. I mean, honestly, I won't even think about it when I'm fighting because the division will be ready to take my head off. That's what I'll be thinking about. I'll be thinking about surviving. So I'll try not to really think about it, you know, just so I don't get overwhelmed. But it's a big thing for me, you know, from where I grew up, man. I never would have thought I'd be fighting on TV ever in my life. So it's pretty big to me.
And I mean, we talked there about division. What do you feel your strengths are over his weaknesses?
I see we're pretty much identical fighters. I mean, he's got really good striking. He's got really good ground. He trains with a really good camp. So, you know, I feel like I need a. I don't know. It looks pretty tough in everything. I really don't see any holes. I'm pretty sure I might be stronger than him, but. Other than that, it doesn't really mean anything in a fight. I mean, I'm working on everything, you know. I'm working on my wrestling, but I just do my striking. I train like he's better than me at everything. That's you know, that's pretty much how I train. So I'm ready for it when I fight.
And is it fair to say you literally look at one fight at a time? So you're not thinking beyond this. You're not thinking about working your way up towards the towards getting a title shot at the moment. You just want to just get in and win this fight.
Yeah, I just think about this fight. I don't even think about past April 19th. This is all I think. All I think about is Division. You know, he's a tough guy, and he's the only person in my head right now is fighting him. I don't think anything past April 19th. I got to win that fight before I start thinking about title shots and stuff like that. I think about Division. He seems pretty tough to me.
No, I think that's the right attitude to have. I just want to say, Zach, I know we had a few problems at the start, so obviously, firstly, thank you for your patience and thank you for your time today. But I want to wish you good luck for this fight as well. It's going to be a great fight. Two really experienced fighters. You know, you've both been out there a lot and fought a lot. But before I let you go, do you want to do any shout-outs? Do you want to shout out any friends or family, sponsors, let people know about your Twitter and Facebook as well?
I just want to thank everybody that's been supporting me, you know, especially Avicara. They hooked me up with a lot of good gear right now. They're my first sponsor right now. It's Daryl's Recycling, you know, M&M Roofing, you know. They're my sponsors right now. I also want to thank my team at Pinster Athletics. I also want to thank anybody that's ever helped me along the way, show me one move. You know, you are. I also want to give a shout out to my hometown, UNC, Tennessee. You kids better dream big, all right? If you work hard enough, anything can happen.
I think you're proof of that yourself, Zach. So I really, really appreciate you having the chance to speak today. So thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Good luck for your fight, mate.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're now joined by Angelica Chavez. Angelica has a fight up and coming against Stephanie Skinner at XFC 23. You'll be fighting on the main card. How are things for you, Angelica?
Things are going great. Feeling great.
How are you feeling about your up and coming fight?
I'm excited. You know, it's a big opportunity, and I'm excited. There's no other way to explain it.
I think it's fair to say XFC are putting a lot of emphasis at the moment on recruiting some of the best female athletes out there, and a bit of really building up a division. So is it exciting to be part of that?
Definitely. It's really exciting. It's an honor to be, you know, at the forefront of really them building up their women's, you know, divisions. It's exciting, and I think that there's real big things to come.
Yeah, I think there is as well. Well, we'll talk a little bit about your fight with Stephanie, because obviously it's on the main card. It's going to be a big fight. But before we mention that, let's talk a little bit about your background. Now, you started fighting professionally in 2009. What made you want to get into it? What made you want to get into mixed martial arts?
Well, I grew up in karate, training karate my entire life, and I did amateur kickboxing, and we went to some MMA fights and saw some girls that were close to my size, and my dad and I kind of just decided, hey, we can hang with them, and kind of just jumped into it. You know, we didn't do any amateur MMA, but my karate background really prepared me for, you know, for the MMA career.
It's interesting that you say your background is mainly striking, because obviously your first four victories were all by submission. So where did you go to learn about jiu-jitsu, and how did you find the adjustment to jiu-jitsu?
Well, for my first few fights, the only jiu-jitsu I had done was part of the karate that I do. The system that my dad teaches is called Kajikimbo. And so if you break it down, a quick breakdown is the ka is for karate, the ju is for judo and jiu-jitsu, the ken is for temple karate, and the bo is for boxing. So it in and of itself is a mixed martial art. So we do touch in our karate classes on, you know, basic jiu-jitsu. Like my first fight was an Americana and then to a guillotine. And so for those two fights especially, I had no specific jiu-jitsu training, just what we did in our Kajikimbo classes. But since then, I have been training with a Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, Rafael de Freitas, and he's one of the head black belts at the Gracie Baja here in town.
It's interesting.
So now I work a lot with him.
It's interesting as well, because when you first started, I mean, with your jiu-jitsu wins, I mean, they were, I mean, the first fight went into second round, but the other three wins were really, really quick, and one of them was within 20 seconds, so it just showed how effective the style that your dad teaches, it just shows how effective that style was. What was it like to get in there and kind of test yourself in this new sport?
It was definitely a new experience, you know. Like I say, the Kajikimbo really prepared me because it's a real live combat side, type of karate. They call it like the art from the streets for the streets. So it is, in a way, it prepares you for a street fight. And a cage fight is not far from the instances of a street fight. And so it was definitely a new experience for me. But in those first few fights, it was all just natural reaction. And that was an amazing feeling to feel my karate really be put to test with just on instincts, you know. And so it was an amazing feeling.
Now, looking at over your resume, obviously, your last fight was, it was in July 2012. Just wondered if there was a reason for the layoff.
There wasn't any reason. Just lack of activity here in New Mexico, and we just hadn't really been offered the right fight out of town. And so when Invicta called us, it was a great organization, and they offered us a great fight. And so we jumped on it, but there was no specific reason. Through the whole time I've been training, like I said, my parents, they own a karate school, and so all the time I'm on the deck, whether I'm helping teach the karate or the kickboxing classes or whatnot. So I haven't really taken any time off. I've always been in the dojo.
So obviously, with it being your last fight in July, and obviously you've got a fight coming up now, how eager are you to get back in there and kind of get back to winning ways as well? Because obviously you're coming off a two-fight losing streak.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to get back in there because, like you said, it's been since July, my last fight, and so it's just itching. And then, you know, you have that weight on your back of coming off the two losses, and so I'm definitely ready to get back in there. I was definitely a big light for me to be signed with XSD, a multi-fight contract, because that really means steady activity. You know, in my entire career, I've had six MMA fights spread over how many years, you know, and so now with it contracted, I'll be real active, a lot more active than I've been at any time in my career. And so I really think that is going to be where everyone will see the true me, you know, because I'm going to go right from one fight, God willing, no injuries, but from one fight into another, and I would love to just stay active and stay in that cage so that, you know, every training camp just follows right into the next.
Yeah, that's got to be better for you. I imagine it's just nice to have that consistency, and it's like a safety net as well, knowing you've got a promotion there behind you. And of course, if they believe in you, then it is going to give you that little bit of extra confidence to know that you can believe in yourself as well, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your fight up and coming. Obviously, it is a big deal. You're fighting at XFC 23. You're going to be on the main card, which means your fight's going to be televised as well. How big is it knowing that your fight's going to be televised, you know, on national TV?
I'm real excited about it because, like I said, it's away from my hometown, so that all, like, my hometown people can watch me, and so, you know, they're there supporting me. But I don't really feel, like, any more pressure, you know. It doesn't matter to me where I'm fighting or who's there or who's not there, you know. It's all the same once those cage doors lock.
And of course, you're facing Stephanie Skillin. Now, she's had six fights like yourself, so she, you know, so you're kind of at the same kind of stage in the amount of fights you've got, the same experience. Of course, you've won more fights than what she has. What do you feel are your strengths to her weaknesses?
I've only seen one of her fights, and so I'm more basing it off of her training camp. She has a very good coach and training camp, and so I've actually lost to one of her training partners. And so, and she was very tough, Anna-Rail, very tough, and so I know she's her training partner and helping her get ready and whatnot. And so I'm really expecting a tough fight, you know. They're very well-rounded, you know. They have a good scramble. They have good wrestling. They have good stand-up. You know, they're very well-rounded. And so with Stephanie, I'm not really getting ready for one thing or the other because I'm not really knowing what to expect. So the fight will go where it goes when I get there. We don't really, you know, you can't have a game plan. What if it doesn't happen, then you freak out. So, you know, we're just getting ready all around, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because obviously things are going to change all the time, constantly, when you're in the octagon, in the cage. So obviously you talked there about you've got a multi-fight deal with XFC. Look at the big picture then within XFC. What are your goals within XFC? You're still very young. So where do you see yourself within XFC within the next couple of years?
I would love to build up to the title. You know, I'm coming off two losses, and so I know that there's other girls out there, in a sense, more qualified than I am on record base, but I know that my record doesn't show what I can do, and so I definitely want to climb that ladder back up to a title with XFC. That's my goal.
I think that's a very achievable goal as well. I want to say I really, really appreciate you coming today. It's been a pleasure to speak to you, but before we do let you go, Angelica, just want to give you a chance to do any shout-outs. You want to shout out any friends, family, you've got any sponsors, and also let people know about your Facebook and Twitter as well?
I have, my Twitter is, oh man, I'm bad at it, HavisMMA for Twitter. So follow me on there, and that's where I kind of keep everything updated on my training and whatnot. And just shout out to Travis Dojo, my team.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, and we wish you all the luck with the fight. We're looking forward to seeing you getting back to winning ways.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, Angelica. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed those three interviews. I know the show is a little bit short this week. We did have another interview booked, but unfortunately that fell through. Of course, as always, I'm not sure who's going to be on next week, but we'll always look to try and get on the best guests that we can get on. I know for definite next week we've got a couple more fighters from the XFC card coming up. So we've definitely got on Jason Ellis and Julio Gallegos. But as for the rest, I'm not sure yet. But definitely, hopefully you'll check out next week's show and you'll enjoy those interviews as well. Thank you for listening.